We are the Cat's Whiskers, and this is My Top Line. Welcome to another edition of My Top Line. My name is Jono Bullard, and I'm delighted to say that this week we've got someone involved with the Great Britain programme will be choosing their Great Britain top line from the women's teams, the under-18s and the under-20s. I'm delighted to welcome Craig Simpson.
Hi, Jono. Thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure to have you on, Craig. Looking forward to going through all of your choices, but I suppose we'll do a bit of background first. When did you actually start working for GB?
The first tournament I did was we hosted the women's tournament in Hull in 2012. It was the first IIHF championship we'd hosted for a number of years. And I was involved with the AIHA at the time doing their tournaments, like their women's tournaments, the junior tournaments and things. And Jeff Hemmerman, who was the director involved with the AIHA, was also involved in putting the tournament on in Hull. And he asked me if I'd be interested in doing the emceeing, so the music, the announcements and things like that for that tournament in Hull. So that was the first one. And it kind of spread a little bit. We did a bit of media, we did some interviews, we did some highlights. I put claim to starting the Ice Hockey UK TV channel. So I was the first the first voice on that. And that was the first, as I say, the first tournament we'd hosted for a while. And then since then, as you know, GB have hosted tournaments regularly at all of the levels, and luckily for me, I've been involved in the tournaments we've held in the UK, and I've also had the chance to travel away a couple of times with a GB team as a media officer. So been very lucky, and I've been involved the last, as I say, since 2012, so the last 8 years. Did a little count, and I think I've done in total 14 tournaments now.
Quite a few tournaments, but going a little further back, because your background was with the Newcastle Vipers, so you did Vipers TV and you was heavily involved with them, wasn't you?
Yeah, all of the Newcastles. I started as a fan watching the Cobras when they started, and obviously followed through with the different iterations of Newcastle. Started getting involved more behind the scenes when they were the River Kings, started writing programme articles, getting involved on that side. And then, as you say, when they were the Vipers, got more involved with that. And then we started doing highlights for Vipers TV. I was doing commentary, I was doing interviews. And the last couple of years, I was doing a little kind of intros and outros and things, so kind of the face of Vipers TV. So that was the last 3 or 4 years of the Newcastle Vipers. And then through knowing people at Newcastle, that's how I got involved with the AIHA events and the conference and the juniors and that sort of thing. That's how it kind of all led into another. And once you're in, you're kind of known in the system, the opportunity came, and that's how it kind of got involved.
And of course, now you're announcing Billingham Stars in the NIHL one.
Yeah, Billingham's my team now. Newcastle finished, it's actually 2011, the Vipers finished. Still doesn't seem that long ago, but Vipers were done. And Billingham at the time were having their rink refurbished, so they weren't actually playing. They took a couple of years out. And when it reopened in the September of 2011, lucky enough to get a call off the GM down there, Alan Flavel, and he asked if I'd like to be involved initially just as announcer, which I did. And then, as you know, as things happen, I got more involved again with the club and started helping with when they did Billingham Stars TV. So again, some commentary, some interviews and helping out on the media operation. So Billingham, definitely my team of choice at the moment.
We'll move on to look at your team. And as ever, it's Netminder 2D, three forwards. We've got your goal, moment, your game and your honourable mentions. Obviously, with this being a Great Britain one, though, for regular listeners, there won't be a player from an opposition team, because we could all wish that somebody from another country could come into Great Britain. So we thought we'd leave that one out of this one. So we won't have that category. But as ever, we will start with the netminder. So, Craig, who is the netminder you've chosen?
Pretty much all of them are a tough choice, but the netminder I've chosen is Ella Howard.
Ella Howard, 12 appearances for Great Britain under 18. She's currently playing in Canada for the Blue Water Hawks. But why did you particularly choose Ella Howard?
For the main reason was one one night against Norway.
I remember this well.
In the under-18 championship at Dumfries, we were hosting. Norway had come down from the top division, so they were having to qualify again. They were top seeds. We were fourth or fifth seed. Can't remember exactly what we were.
Fifth, I think, from memory.
And Ella just had one of those games. 48 shot shutout. It was 0-0 after regulation. It went through overtime. It went to a penalty shootout. A certain Jay Bullard may have been doing the commentary as well, so I remember the shootout. Ella made a ridiculous stick save in the shootout.
Still, I had a look at it earlier prior to doing this, and it's still, I still don't get how she managed to save that, because it was just, I think I called that it had gone in and then had to change very quickly to say that it was saved. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was almost behind her. I think that's because it went to sudden death in the shootout as well. So it went through the full rounds and then went to sudden death in the shootout. And the one she made the ridiculous save on scored in the normal shootout.
Yeah.
But Ella very nearly made the same save. If you watch it back, she nearly got a piece of the first shot. So obviously remembered that and then got a stick on it. And I think it was just Chloe Riley, top shelf, bar down. And I say GB 1-0 after overtime and shootout. But when we come to honourable mentions, that any number of goalies have been fantastic for the junior teams that I've been involved with. But Ella's come through. She's played club, she's played conference, England, and now GB. And the sky is the limit for Ella. As you've said, she's gone to Canada. She's working out. She's getting better. And she could be the GB goalie for the next umpteen years. It's scary how good she can be.
She's not actually played for the senior team as yet, but at just 17, that is to come. But if you look at the statistics that she had from that Dumfries tournament, 5 games, goals against average of 1.37 and a save percentage of 95.7. I mean, they are stunning figures.
Yeah, they're decent numbers, you could say. Yeah. I mean, she's a tall goalie and she uses a size very well, but she's very mobile. She covers the net really well, and she learns from our coaches as well. She does a lot of work, and when she was with GB, she did a lot of work with the GB goalie coaches. And obviously, she's gone and bettered herself. She's gone over to North America, and she's learning from really top quality coaches. And as I say, the sky's the limit.
Of course, there's another great netminder in Emma Nichols, who's around the same age, who was also in that Great Britain under-18 squad until she unfortunately suffered an injury. Do you think it helps Ella the fact that she's got someone as good as Emma Nichols to push her?
I'm sure it does. The training, the 18s and the GB women that year building up to that tournament is when the first time they played in the AIHA under-20s. So Ella, because the GB senior goalie, Nicole Jackson, was playing abroad, Ella was playing a lot. Emma was playing, Sam Bolwell was playing, Amelia McGinley, who came in for Emma at Dumfries. So the so-called fringe goalies were playing a lot of these AIHA under-20 games, so they were getting a lot of ice. And I'm sure Ella would have seen the kind of the pressure from the goalies below her in the pecking order, so she knew she had to be at a game to keep on top, and that's what she's done.
So we'll leave Ella Howard there and move on to your first defenceman. So, Craig, who is defenceman number one?
Yep, first defence, we've gone with Edward Nags.
Edward Nags, 22 years old, currently playing with the Bracknell Bees in the National League. He's made 10 appearances for Great Britain under 18, scoring 2 goals and 3 assists. 14 appearances for the under 20s with a goal and 3 assists. So why particularly has Edward Nags made it into your blue line?
Well, as you said there, he played for the 18s and the 20s. He played pretty much all of the junior tournaments that I was involved with around those years, and he was just an absolute ice time monster. He was logging minutes upon minutes upon minutes. He was playing all situations. He was carrying the puck out. He was QBing the power play. He was top defenseman, and he was Mr. Reliable. Never let his coaches down, whatever team he was playing on, and he was just an absolute rock. And I'm not surprised he's gone on to play at the National League, and I wouldn't be surprised if in the next year or so, an elite league team would take a look at him, because he is that good, and he's got those kind of qualities, and he's much deserved of his place in the teams.
Yeah, he's also had a 4 elite league appearances for the Coventry Blaze on a 2-way with Bracknell. But it's one of these things that we always find, isn't it, with the under 20 players. It's where do they go once they hit sort of 21, where they're too old to play for the under 20s, but probably not quite ready for the senior team. But it seems he's really taken on that experience. He's played some games in Coventry. He's had two very good seasons with Bracknell. And you can really say that the sky's the limit for him.
Yeah, as I say, the teams he was on, the 18s and the 20s, he was top pair in D. He was taking the top minutes, all situations. The coaches trusted him. He thrived on that responsibility. He's got a smart head, smooth skating. He brings the puck out of defence. He can transition into to offence very quickly. And as I say, if an elite league team did take a chance, he'd be very, very worthwhile, and he wouldn't let them down for sure.
Looking at his career, he's played in, well, he played in the EPHL very young, when he was just 16, making his debut for Milton Keynes.
Yeah.
And he took that form through for Great Britain. Is there any particular tournaments where he really stood out for you?
Not particularly. As I say, he was pretty much Mr. Consistent. The first tournament I went away to a tournament with was the under-20s in 2016. I think we went to Donia. It was the first tournament I went away to, and as I say, carrying the puck out, so giving the options out of defence into attack. That was his kind of his modus operandi all the way through. He was the go-to guy, and I think that's been his plus point all the way through.
You say that about carrying the puck out of defence. He's not scored a great deal of points up until this past couple of seasons in Bracknell. Only 3 goals each season, but 20 assists and 29 assists respectively, which shows he's obviously one of the guys for transition and for getting the puck moving and getting attack from the blue line.
And I think that's probably as much him growing into the team, because obviously as a junior, as he still was before, you know, the last 2 years, he may not have been getting in the senior team, getting the minutes, but certainly since he's gone to Bracknell with in the NIHL South previously and the new national division this year, he's been getting proper minutes on the D pairings, and obviously he's had his reward, and he's rewarded his own team with those points.
Okay, we're going to leave the team for a second and move on to your favourite game. So in the years that you've been supporting GB on the media, what is your favourite game?
The favourite game I've chosen was the last game in Belfast, 2017, the Worlds, the men's team, the decider against Japan, and they beat Japan 4-0 to get the gold medal and start off this great run they've been on the last 2 or 3 years.
First time that the senior tournament had been in this country for quite a few years. A 4-0 victory over Japan secured the gold medal, as you've said, on the 29th of April 2017, in front of a crowd of over 4,000 people. So why particularly is that game special for you?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. There's a hockey reason and there's a personal reason. The hockey reason was the team never looking in doubt from kind of minute one. After the previous two tournaments where they'd fell at the last hurdle, having another final day decider, they just completely dominated. They never looked like losing at all to Japan. They got out early to a, I think it was a power play goal from Robert Dowd, and then it was just a procession. It was 4-0 after two, and they just completely shut down the third period. So it was never in doubt. It was a fantastic performance. It got them that gold medal. It got them into 1A, and obviously, as we know from where they went after 1A. So it was the win that got them kind of started on this roller coaster they've been on the last couple of years. So that was the hockey reason. The personal reason was that tournament I was working partly in a media role supporting Chris Ellis. Obviously, as we were hosting, Chris was doing a lot of tournament media, so we still had some GB media stuff to do, so I was supporting Chris in that. And I was also helping out on the game side, doing the PA for the non-GB games. And the Belfast Giants announcer, David McCalmond, was doing the GB night, which was fine, until we got to the final day on the Saturday. And when I got to the rink on the Saturday morning, found out David wasn't going to be available. So they said, did I want to do the PA for the GB game? And I obviously thought about it for like a second. and why that was special, because that then completed for me personally, because I'd started doing all the tournaments that we'd hosted since 2012. That completed the full set of all of the GB teams. So I did started with the women, and then we had the under 18 women, and then we had the 20s, the 18s, and they kind of kept going in cycle until we finally hosted the men's tournament, and I got to announce a GB team for senior men in GB. So that completed a full set for me. So personally, it was a proud moment. Watching the team win was fantastic. But that's why that for me is the favourite game in the last 10 years or so.
What does it mean to you personally being the announcer, especially as there's been so many tournaments that have been held in the UK over the past few years? What does it actually mean to you to be able to do that?
It's a great honour. Whatever we are hosting, or whether I'm away or whatever, but when we're hosting, obviously the IIHF are watching. They've got a tournament supervisor there. They've got a tournament chairman there watching whatever the tournament does. So there are certain things, as you know yourself, being at the tournaments, the IIHF say things. And if the IIHF say something will happen at 10 minutes to face off, it should happen at 10 minutes to face off. And if it doesn't, it'll get brought up at a meeting. So it's very regimented. There are certain things that have to be done by the book. So it's a big responsibility. But when it comes off, like it did hosting the first one we did in Hull, when you're doing opening ceremonies or medal ceremonies or calling the game, announcing goals and what have you, yes, it's a big responsibility, but it's just a huge, huge sense of pride that you are representing the UK governing body at this level and putting on a show representing GB at its very best.
Just moving back to that particular game, do you think anyone in that building, anyone involved with the programme, had an inkling of what was to come?
I think if we're honest, I would say no. Somebody like Pete Russell probably would say, yeah, I knew it was going to happen all along. But I think getting to 1A was always the goal, because there was the feeling that we could survive in 1A better than we could try and qualify out of 1B. So 1A was kind of our level. So getting to 1A was the main aim. The way it transpired the 12 months after Belfast was fantastic. But I think everybody was just happy to finally get over that final day hurdle, get the gold medal, get up to 1A, and then kind of, I'm sure they were thinking maybe solidifying there for a couple of years. But the way the chance came, and you had to take the chance when it was there and when it's gone on, and obviously undefeated since beating France last year in World Championship action, and playing another season at the top flight, seeing GB playing against Canada and America and Finland. When we qualified, I still couldn't get my head round our players' names being alongside some of their names. And then when I was watching it happening, I still couldn't believe it was happening, but it was been fantastic. But if you'd said in Belfast, oh, you know, in 2 years we're going to play Canada, I would have said, yeah, right, okay. I wouldn't have believed it, but dare to dream, I believe, is the...
That is the mantra, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it certainly fits with what is essentially a fairy tale story, it has to be said.
It was, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Okay, let's head back to your team now, Craig. So, defence number two.
Yeah, and we've gone back to the women's game, and we are on defence, Beth Schoon.
Beth Schoon, 25 years old, of the Kingston Diamonds, has played 14 games for Great Britain under-18s with one goal and three assists, and has also played 30 times for the senior team with one goal and four assists. So, why particularly Beth Schoon?
So, as I said off the top and in before we did this, the messages back and forward, defence was where I struggled, like, narrowing it down, because nobody, apart from possibly Nagsy, nobody really stood out as a stud defenceman. So I had to look at what they'd done over their time. And when you look at Beth's record, and say the numbers you've just put out there, 14 games for the under-18s, 30 games for the seniors. And again, she's another, obviously, as I said, the points. She's not a great contributor at the offensive end, but defensively, she's strong. She's, I know women's a non-checking game, but some of the best hits we've seen in the tournaments we've hosted have been by Beth Schoon, penalised or otherwise. But Beth's not afraid to put the body there. And then when she does let a slap shot go, I say you've only a couple of goals to show for it. Big booming slap shot, but certainly playing, I say, 5 or 30 tournaments, must be 6 full seasons with the seniors. Again, it's just a number one dependable first name on there by the coaches. Gets put in the situations again, as they're not called on to chip in with the points, but just a top player, and say gives her all, game in, game out.
you think with 30 games played at senior level, you expect a veteran. But then you look and she's only 25 years old. And to have had that many campaigns at just 25, and she's probably got at least another six, maybe more ahead of her.
Yeah. And a lot of those times were where quite a lot of the players would have been playing. They would have been playing under 18s at the beginning of the season. So their tournaments, I think, generally November. So they're playing for the GB under 18 women in November, a full world championship. And then coming to end of March, beginning of April, another full world championships for the senior women. So a lot of the time she'll have been playing two full world championships in one calendar year. So it requires obviously a lot of dedication, a lot of training, and as I say, to be able to raise the level to that level for not one tournament a year, but two, takes a lot of work, and she's getting a just rewards.
I mean, she's a player I've seen, obviously, with Great Britain, but also with the Kingston Diamonds in the Women's National Tournament. And she's always been a player for me who has stood out. Kingston have been in every Women's National weekend that I've covered. And she is definitely one of the players for Kingston who stand out on that blue line.
Yeah, she's a big part of their organisation. I think they've just had their end of season awards, and I think she got overall club MVP. So obviously they hold her in the same regard, but she's a big part of their organisation. Also, when she was at university, she was a big part of setting up the university team, playing with the university teams. So she's just all about kind of spreading the hockey word and getting as many people involved in the sport as possible. Obviously, she comes from Fife, so that like her brother plays. Play, I don't know if he still does play with the Flyers, so they're a hockey family for sure. And seeing Graham and Tanya kind of travel the country supporting her as well is fantastic to see. And as I say, she's all about the hockey, whether it's a university team, the Diamonds, GB, 18s, women, whatever it is, she gives her absolute all.
We'll leave the blue line there and move on to the forwards. So, Craig, who is forward number one?
First forward I have chosen is Jordan County.
Jordan County, currently of the Dundee Stars in the Elite Ice Hockey League. For the under-18s, he made 10 appearances with 4 goals and 13 assists. For the under-20s, 15 appearances with 7 goals and 10 assists. Some good numbers there. Is that why you chose him?
He is probably, you can probably put inverted commas around the probably, he's, I would say, the most skillful forward that I've seen in the last 14 tournaments. Mm-hmm. The most skillful player I've seen in a GB jersey.
And it's just, a bit sick, I know, but yeah, it is considering that you've seen the likes of Liam Kirk and Kieran Brown and Mason Alderson, some great players, but you would go that he's the most talented you've seen.
In terms of if what he can do on the ice, the first time I seen him was in Estonia. There was him, Lewis Hook, and Bobby Chamberlain were a top line, and they kind of that was Division 2A. I think we won that to get back into 1B, but they dominated the scoring. But Jordan had a number of kind of coast to coast, beating all of the team before going top shelf on the goalie kind of goals. Just on pure skill, that's the sort of thing he could do. And similar to Ella Howard, in just a single moment, as to another why I could have picked him in that tournament in Estonia to guarantee the gold medal, we needed to beat Korea on penalties. It went to a shootout, and he had the deciding penalty shot. And on a deciding penalty shot to win a gold medal, he pulled out the Forsberg. Kind of, you know, when he leaves it round the back and just tucks it in behind the goalie.
Yeah.
He does that on a must-win penalty shot kind of thing. Supremely skilled, supremely confident. I'm pleased he's still playing at the Elite League. I would have liked maybe he's one of the bigger teams to take a chance on him. But I think he's had a bad rap of a couple of people in the big team, so to speak. But he's so skillful, so talented. And I say the things he can do, and he is still showing it with Dundee at the minute, and I say fully deserving of being on my top line.
I mean, I remember Jordan County. He played for the Panthers in the Champions Hockey League when He played six games, but he got a regular shift along with Lewis Hook and Ollie Betteridge in the game against Hamburg. The Panthers ended up winning 3-1 and did not look out of place at all against a team that was so much better than what we were.
Yeah. No, and I say, I think it's just pure talent. He's got the skill, and he's not afraid to try things. And I say, what it was that tournament in Estonia particularly was a joy watching him. Every time he got the puck, it was kind of one of those you move to the edge of your seat moments because you don't know what's going to happen next. And I say, I'm pleased he's still playing at in the Elite League, and he deserves every success he gets.
Okay, let's leave the team again for a second and move on to your favourite goal. So, Craig, what is your favourite goal in the time you've been covering GB?
So, we go to December 2015 and we go to Megev in France for GB under-20s. And the goal was scored by Ollie Betteridge. It was against France. It was in the last minute and it was the game winner.
Yeah, the goal against France, it was a 4-3 victory. The goal scored 31 seconds before the end of the game. Nottingham Panthers forward, as he is now, Ollie Betteridge, putting it away. And it was very well covered, actually, at the time, I seem to remember. There was a great deal of excitement about it. So you were there. Talk us through it.
Yeah, I was there with the team in a media role. That game in particular, I was actually filming the game on Periscope. There was no webcast from the tournament. Somebody suggested that we Periscope it. We got the okay off the organisers and the IHF. So I was standing in the stands in the front row, putting it on Periscope. I was not commentating as such, but I was giving little things as things happened. And the game with France, it was a bit to and fro. It got down to the last few minutes. It was 3-3. And then one of the French players was thrown out for, I think it was Cameron McGiffin, hit him from behind. So he's thrown out on a major. So GB finished the game on a power play, gets set up down in the zone. And I'm like, I'm filming, but I'm watching the time and I'm watching the clock and I'm da-da-da. And they're passing it around. D-men are flopping top and tail at the blue line. Ollie's down in the bottom of the circle on the, probably the left-hand side as it was. So finally they get the puck down to him and he just turns and one-times it through the goalie, and as you say, 31 seconds. I'm kind of cheering, but surrounded by French people, so I'm kind of like being because the tournament, the Megève tournament was fantastic, but that rink in the Alps, I think it sat about 2,000 probably, and for the French games, it was full. So it was full of the French supporters. There was the usual GB family and friends and fans. They were on one side of the rink, but where I was, it was all French, and I was like, yes, we've won, but I'd like to get out alive, please. but it was fantastic. That week in particular was fantastic. But that's it, that goal to clinch the win in such a dramatic style, and it just set us up. Well, I mean, we started the tournament very well, but that continued our progress and set up a fantastic week. You've probably seen the photo I've had on my social media now and again. Duncan Spears' dad, also called Duncan, he was taking some photos for us and he captured it just perfectly. Ollie's just scored, he's turning away to celebrate. The French goalie's on his knees, kind of, you can see the pucks behind him, 5 holes still open. But the best thing about the photo, if you look right in the distance, the French mascot, you know, the cockerel or whatever it is, the French mascot standing at the plexiglass on the far side, and it had a permanent shocked look on its face. But that just looks so apt for what's just happened. We'll have to put that on when this goes out. I'll have to re-dig it out and put it back on my Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, but definitely.
That was just the perfect end. So it was a well-worked goal, taking time. I mean, they had 30 seconds to spare. What was the rush? But to win that, to beat France, in front of a full house, that was my favourite goal.
And we was talking before we started this, and you was saying about that tournament that Great Britain went in as the bottom seeds, but played well beyond that. Of course, Japan had pulled out, which meant that there was a bit of rejigging of the fixtures. But to come away from that tournament with the results they did, it was a pretty Herculean effort.
Yeah, that was our first game back in Division 1. So we won the Golden Division 2 the year before. So we're playing in Division 1B, going to think it was all about surviving and just staying in the division. And then, as you say, a couple of weeks before the tournament, Japan pulled out. I think that was the Charlie Hebdo terrorist thing? I think there was some terrorist thing in France.
Yes, I think it probably was.
And the Japan team just refused to travel. So we knew that we were safe because Japan would be relegated. That's how IIHF work. Good reason or not, you don't turn up to a tournament, you're relegated. So we knew from then it was, well, instead of survival, let's just go and see what we can do. And we started off the week. We played, I think Slovenia were top seeds. We played them first game and we won in OT. Lewis Hook scored the OT winner for that one. We lost to Poland, which unfortunately ended up costing us a higher medal than we got. Then we beat France, we beat Ukraine. And on the last night when we should have been playing Japan, we were sitting out, so we had a day off. So we went to watch the final game, which was France-Poland. And we were kind of cheering for one team, one, because the way it finished up, ourselves, France and Poland all finished up on the same number of points and we'd all beaten each other once. So we'd beaten France, France beat Poland, Poland beat us. So it went down to goals, and because Poland had given us a bit of a beating, as it were, I think it was 7-3, they'd beaten us. So we finished third on kind of that little mini tiebreaker. So we were kind of cheering. I think on the penultimate night, we were cheering for one team to win because we wanted not to have a tiebreaker. So I think we were cheering for France on the Thursday night. And then on the Friday, the final game, we were cheering for Poland to win by, I think if Poland won by 4, that would have given us a gold medal. I think we could go gold or bronze. We could not win silver. But in the end, France won. They won the medal. So that was that. It was a fantastic week, it was.
Okay, we'll go back to your team and your second forward. So, Craig, who's forward number 2?
Yeah, we've gone to Saffron Allen.
Saffron Allen of the Solihull Vixens played 15 games for the under-18s with 11 goals and 11 assists and has 44 senior appearances with 15 goals and 17 assists and was the Great Britain captain at the last senior tournament they played in Dumfries. So why have you gone for Saffron?
As I said, points, she's led the teams at under 18. She was part of the first tournament we did in Dumfries. She's graduated up to be GB captain. She's like a big part of the team, getting everybody together. But a big part of Saffron is just her kind of never say die. I can't remember exactly what the year was, but a few years ago when she was playing with GB in the Olympic qualifiers in China, she suffered a back injury, which fused two of her vertebrae completely went, and she basically couldn't move, couldn't walk, and she was out of the game for more or less a year, and she was told unlikely she'd play hockey again, and that was a few years ago, and now she's gone on to be GB captain. So the work she's done to come back from that initially, I mean, I spoke to her a couple of times during our rehab, and then she's obviously come back to play club, and then she got back into the GB team, so that was fantastic. Having gotten over that and then got to the GB senior team hosting the tournament on home ice, you've been named captain. In the last warm-up game before the tournament, she had another injury. I think she broke, it was a leg or an ankle. And again, just the sheer determination. She's not, like, she wouldn't be told you're not playing. She's kind of did her physio, did her rehab, got back to skating, got back fit enough, and then sort of led the team as captain in that tournament, and we got a medal out of it as well. So she's a fantastic competitor. She's a great player. She's a worthy captain, and she's just an inspirational person for the stuff she's had to deal with to come back not once but twice from things that would normally stop people from playing. And the back injury was serious. She was told she might not walk, let alone play hockey. So she's like an inspirational person that way, and she's a fantastic leader for Great Britain. And it's great to see her back on the ice.
I remember seeing a video that I think she was involved with the physiotherapist she was working with that she put out after that GB tournament in Dumfries. To say she made that tournament was an absolute miracle. And it was showing the work that she put in to actually get there, considering I think it was, what, 3 months before the tournament she broke a leg, 4 months, something like that, to actually make it is was something else, and just shows the perseverance that she has.
Yeah, and as if that to do that from to come back from the broken leg to play was one thing, but having already come back from that back injury, where, as I say, not just that hockey was in doubt, but whether she'd walk again. She was they were stranded in China for weeks after the team had left, and then she was flown home, and she had months of rehab at home, and then started working again, physically learning how to walk again, getting her muscles built up, and the work she did over a year with her physio to do that and to come back once, and then as they suffer the, I think it was the January, and the tournament was the March or the April.
Yeah.
Had a broken leg, and again to come back from that. And I think part of her drive from the first injury is why she's gone on to the career she has. She's now a sports therapist herself, and kind of helps from the other side of things. A lot of because of what she went through the first time with Kirsty Hopgood, who helped her through the first physio, drove her down that career path as well. So she's just a fantastic inspiration from what she's done. And I say it's great to see her when she's playing well for a club. Obviously, Solihull and Bracknell have had a good rivalry at the top of the Elite League for the last couple of years. It would have been good to see that play out at Sheffield this season, but it wasn't to be. But I'm sure she'll be back again, and whenever the season starts again, ready to go again, and good luck to her.
Yeah, I'm sure she will. And still, another one, only 25 years old, so again, has got many years ahead of her at the top of the women's game. Okay, let's move on to your final forward choice. So who is your final forward, Craig?
Yeah, final forward we've chosen is Liam Kirk.
Liam Kirk of the Peterborough Petes in the OHL. 15 appearances for the under-18s, 12 goals, 6 assists. 15 appearances for the under-20s with 14 goals and 18 assists. He's made 11 appearances for the senior side as well, but has yet to register a point. He is, of course, an NHL draft pick with the Arizona Coyotes in 2018. He was picked in round 7, number 189 overall. So, Craig, why particularly Liam Kirk?
As you say, he's played for the 18s and the 20s. Again, a lot of the time, like a couple of other players we've mentioned, playing the two tournaments in the same year. So once he was eligible for 18s and 20s, he would generally play both, unless he was had his commitments in elsewhere. Again, at that level, he was a dominant player, as the stats suggest, and he was particularly the last couple of years, as he was getting the attention of the draft picks and the playing for Sheffield, and then when he was drafted by Peterborough and the OHL, playing as a Peterborough Pete for GB, having that pressure on him, but still he didn't seem to phase him. He still put in the performances. He was still leading the team on the ice, but kind of leading them by his performances, but leading them kind of as a captain figure as well. And I say there was one year, I think it was the year we were in, the men were in Hungary, so he played 18s and 20s and GB men. So he won medals at all three, and I think he got a mention in the IHF for that, and that was a kind of a unique little thing that he did. But he's just, as I said, we all know what Liam can do, but the fact that he's done it consistently with a GB shirt on at whatever level he's played at, and despite he's had this pressure the last few years of being, you know, oh, Liam's going to play in the NHL, he's going to do this, but he still turns up at the tournaments, and he puts GB first, and he still puts in the performances, still scores the goals, puts the team on his back when he needs to, whether he needs to do it himself, or whether he's a pass or a goal, or needs to chivvy somebody up, or to help other players, he'll do what's needed, and it doesn't seem to faze him at all.
I remember particularly the tournament in Dumfries, the under-20s, and he was outstanding in that tournament. 7 goals, 7 assists. He was the voted the top forward. He was the top point scorer in the tournament. Unfortunately, Great Britain couldn't get the gold medal. But he captained the team. And I remember particularly if they wasn't playing well, he would do something. He would go up, he would score a goal, or he would make a play. And he would give the team a lift. He had that ability of just dragging the team up with him. Yeah. It was obvious he was head and shoulders above most of the players on the ice, but he was such a good leader and a good team player. He could drag the team with him.
He could, but he was still still one of the team. He didn't put himself above everybody else. Even the last couple of years when he was coming in from Peterborough to play, he's still Liam from Yorkshire. He's still one of the lads. He's still a GB player. He doesn't kind of put himself above everybody else, and he still kind of mucks in and gets on with everything. And obviously you've kind of interviewed him and stuff. He's a joy to speak to. He'll do anything for a media kind of opportunity. But as I say, more than that, he's because of the expectation is there, but he doesn't seem to let it get to him, and he just goes about his business very professionally.
Like you say, a very grounded young man, very humble young man whenever I've spoken to him as well. Just quickly on the fact that he was drafted a couple of years ago, how big do you think that has been for the game in this country? The fact that a generation after Colin Shields and before that Tony Hands was drafted, we finally had another player drafted in the NHL.
Undoubtedly it was huge. It gave players something to aim for and say it is possible, because we had, obviously Liam came back when he was available. He came back to Sheffield for the junior tournaments or for conference if he could help out in any way. So he did kind of buy into that kind of figurehead thing as well, where he was kind of coming on to speak to the younger players. I can remember one of the conference weekends, it might have been the first year we launched the Mighty Mites, which is the under nines, who did a little like kind of half day training session and then did a game in between the England Scotland game. And he came, Liam was home at that time, and he came down to the rink and he was speaking to the players before the game, and he was speaking to the kids and he was posing for photos and everything. And kind of, so that generation, the nine who are probably 11, 12 years old now, have had that, well, Liam Kirk can do it, so why can't I, sort of thing. And kind of the next generation have got that inspiration.
Okay, well, that completes your team. So in goal, we've got Ella Howard. In defence, Edward Nags and Beth Schoon. And then the forwards, Jordan Cowney, Saffron Allen, Liam Kirk. Not a line that we are ever likely to see together on the ice, but quite a formidable lineup you've gone for there.
I'm just looking at it. Obviously, it's not going to happen in my lifetime, as they say. But no, I think we've got quite a few things covered. The D, the offensive D, stay-at-home D, the goalie, the skill, the hard work, the grit. I think, I'll take that award, no problem at all.
Of course, as with any exercise like this, there will be players you've considered and didn't quite make your team. So who are the honourable mentions for you?
So out of the tournaments I've been away, a lot of players that I've seen. So in net, likes of Nicole Jackson from the women's team, played at the top level for a number of years. Adam Goss was the goalie when I went away the first time with GB. Jordan Lauday and Ethan James as well, with both the 18s and the 20s. On D, Callum Buglis, Craig Moore, Scott Robson and Verity Lewis as well from the women's programme. And up front, Lewis Hook, Bobby Chamberlain, we mentioned them earlier on the tournament in Estonia. They were aligned with Jordan Cowney and Angela Taylor from the women's team, again, very experienced performer, and Sam Duggan as well.
Out of all those, who was the one that was closest to making the lineup?
I would say Hookie was. He played with Jordan and Bobby Chamberlain on a line 1 year, and then I think they were top age, so he was kind of one of the senior players the following year when we went to France, and he led the line, kind of top forward line. I think he got on the forward all-star team, I think. Got the winning goal against Slovenia, kind of a coast-to-coast rush, and just led the line very well. So Hookie, and again, pleased to see where he's gone on from leaving the EPL, Peterborough MK, and hanging up in Belfast in the Elite League. It's great to see.
We'll finish the show, as we always do, with your favourite moment in all the time you've been covering Great Britain. So, Craig, what is your favourite moment?
If I haven't mentioned it already, the Mejev tournament in 2015 was quite the tournament, John. After the Ollie Betteridge goal, so obviously we've just beaten the host nation, we do a post-game warm down, change, back on the coach and what have you. We were actually staying, not in Mejev itself, because we were bottom seeds, we got put in what the organisers deemed to be the worst hotel. So we were actually stationed about 10-15 minutes by coach out of Mejev, and they said that put them out of town, they don't mount, kind of thing. And it was actually a ski chalet. It was, the tournament was in mid-December, so it was about 2 weeks before the ski season started. And we pretty much had the ski place to ourselves. It was the classic, you know, the wooden ski chalet kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that was our base. And when we got back to the hotel after beating France, when we get to the reception, they'd printed out the score sheet off the IIHF website. They printed that off and wrote a well done, congratulations, smiley face thing, and then they posted that on the door as we got back to the hotel. And that just was a nice thing to see. It just showed the way we'd kind of, because we'd been there a couple of days before the tournament started, and say we had the place to ourselves. We got to know the staff very well. I say we had the pretty much the run of the place. It was a beautiful, beautiful hotel. You know, Mont Blanc, literally Mont Blanc is outside your window. It was that kind of picture perfect. Mm. But as I say, yeah, to you've just beaten the host nation, so you're going back to a French chalet full of French staff. But for them to put that little message on, just finished off the night perfectly.
Bit of class.
It was a really class. The family who owned it were really nice people as well. Yes, they were French. Yes, they wanted their team to win. But because they was kind of, when I was talking about my role before, they had the honour of hosting the Great Britain team. So if France couldn't win, then they were GB. And so we got, I think our last game, I don't think it was against, I can't remember how our last game was. But we got a couple of the staff to come to a game kind of as one of our games as our guest, and they really enjoyed it. So it was a fantastic, I say, end to that day, but that whole week was just a fantastic memory and something that I'll remember for a long, long time for sure.
Craig, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for sharing your top line with us.
My absolute pleasure. Thanks, Jono.
And thank you to you for listening. We'll be back again soon with another edition of My Top Line. But until then, thank you very much and goodbye.